This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, our text is Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Some people call this from dust to glory. Some people say dirt plus God equals me. Some people say me without God is dirt or dust. But the amazing thing about this passage is that God forms a body, and then he puts a person inside of that body. And so we'll see this passage here played out. It says that God formed man of the dust of the earth, giving us a physical body. And then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's his little nose. He breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, like CPR, giving him a spirit. So here's the breath. I got this written down here. God breathes into this physical structure the breath of life, his spirit, and wind, meaning spirit. This is the life of God that he gives him. This is actually God's life or his identity. So this person now has the life of God within him, God's identity. He can operate in the name of God here as a son connected to God. He breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And it says, and then man became a living soul, giving him a soul as the physical body in this physical world connect with the spiritual world. It forms this incredible thing in the middle called our soul. And so we have three sections here that we always have to deal with whenever we deal with anything. The doctors in the medical world tend to deal with the physical, the way we operate physically, chemically. Psychology tends to deal with the soul, the personality, and the psyche of a person. I think psychiatry kind of mixes both the body and personality. And then ministers in the church mainly deal with areas of the spirit and the gospel and us being made brand new spirit beings, born again. And so we have three issues to deal with anytime we deal with anything. If I'm dealing with a drug addiction or if I'm dealing with anything, there's physical side of everything I deal with. Most relapses happen when we're tired, when we're stressed. Most relapses happen in the evening because we're tired. When this guy comes home and he's sleepy and he sits there in front of the television set, you know, he just takes in everything he's watching, and everything we watch in media has a message, has kind of a sermon to it, and we just sit there and soak that in. Very dangerous thing to do is just sit there and the television basically is saying, you know, here, you think for me, and we just turn off. But we have physical elements to everything. Some people are depressed, need medication. We live in a broken body that's fallen, needs some stuff. So there's physical side. Then there's the personal side, the area of the soul. A lot of people are gifted with the ability to give wise counsel and to help us work out the area of our personality. Some of us need work in our character. I've had a lot of things to do in the area of my mind, will, my emotions, and things that have happened to me in my soul, my wife as well. And then we have the spiritual side. So we have all three. To say that it's only spiritual, there's no psychology or no physical side, you know, come on. Or to say it's only psychological, no way. To say it's only physical, no way. You know, we have to look at the whole person. You know, we lock people up in jail and think, okay, the problem's solved, right? Get all the drugs and alcohol out of this physical body, problem solved. Wrong. We still have these areas to deal with, which is why when someone sobers up and cleans up, they run out, and how long goes by before these other things kick in and they haven't really solved the problem. So there's always three. When God forms us, he speaks things in this Genesis account, let there be, let there be, let there be. But when it comes to us, he goes silent and he gets down and he forms us with his hands. Encouraging part about that for me is that when God is silent in our lives, oftentimes that's when He is forming us and that's when He is shaping us. And we are handmade, right? So you can say to the person next to you, you are a work of art, right? Did you guys do it? You guys didn't do it. You said you're a piece of work. Okay, so it's interesting here. Remember, this guy just became born of God, right? God just created him, breathed into his nostrils the Spirit of God. He just was filled with the Spirit of God. Amazing thing. Okay, when Nevera had little Arlene, little baby, I just had a new little granddaughter, right? We went in the hospital room, and Nevera's in there, you know, scrubbing the floors, going through the cupboards, cleaning stuff, and the baby too. Baby's got a Swiffer. No. What we walked into is Nevera's laying there completely at rest and peace, and little baby as well, just taking in nourishment. And they're both just kind of nourishing the whole situation. And in the same way, when we are born of God, we were created on the sixth day, which means when Adam opens his eyes, he opens his eyes to the rest of God. Created on the sixth day, open our eyes, seventh day, we enter into the rest and peace of God. The same kind of picture as we saw with Nevera and Arlene. We rest. That's what we saw God doing. We didn't see Him working. We saw Him resting. This is a very powerful principle. I wish so bad, and I could just be totally honest with you guys here, because this is our core team here, is if I could get people to grab a hold of this idea of resting in God, they would know how to fight and they would know how to do battle in the Spirit. This whole thing of resting and trusting God. He created our solar system around this whole idea where before we had, you know, electricity, we're out there working and shoveling, and then the sun goes down. Well, I better go in, can't see. And so we go in there, and when it gets really dark, we rest. And we trust God is going to bring the next day. We can't do anything about it. We have to trust Him. I mean, He arranged the planets around this principle of when the darkness comes, when Stan wants to relapse, when everything is coming down on me, He wants me to rest. He wants me to trust Him that He's going to bring me through, and the sun will rise the next day in my situation. I have to trust Him, not take things into my own hands. Okay, forget it. It's getting dark. I'm going to run out here and start making my own way and doing my own thing. Who do you trust like that? Right? Jesus did not raise Himself from the dead. He actually trusted God, His Father. This is crazy. I remember my brother was working on his motorcycle, right? Out in the front yard. I was probably 16. I was super handsome when I was 16, right? Might as well just say it and make it up. He was working on his motorcycle. He had a pretty quick motorcycle, and he's out there working on it. And I jumped on it backwards, just being stupid, while he's working on it. And I put my feet up on the pegs. And it didn't have any kind of anything, you know. It just had a little nub of a seat. And I'm sitting there, like, messing around while my brother's working on it. He looks around, sees what I'm doing, and he just takes off. And he hits the highway, and he turns down this dirt road. It's about 10 miles of dirt road. And he just turns it on. I mean, we must have hit 70 miles an hour. And I'm like this. And all I can see is the dirt flying. And I'm like, any moment going to fall off. Right? That was a terrible ride. Okay? I would never trust my brother. Who do you trust? I would never say to my brother, look, here's the deal. The whole community is going to rise up. They're going to beat me to a pulp. They're going to kill me. And then, not right away, I want you to wait 3 days, then you're going to raise me from the dead. This is what Jesus had with His Father. This is what He's going to do. He's like, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And then You're going to raise me from the dead. Incredible trust. The way this whole spiritual life works here is we can be busy as can be here. I can be working double shifts if I need to. I can be under some stressful situations here, but my strength is going to come when I take my life and I lean back in the Spirit and I trust my Father. I'm not going to take things into my own hands. I'm not going to try to comfort myself in some way. I'm going to trust you. Powerful, powerful thing. I wish so bad people would get it. That's really such a big answer. First thing he does is he gives us a choice, Adam and Eve. He says, I'm going to give you a choice between the trees. And my wife and I are going to do a thing in a couple weeks about the test and the two trees and how it works. It's going to be great. And Glenn is going to have some marvelous things to share with us about the test. When we choose to go our own way, you know, Adam and Eve, they were not choosing just, I'm going to go do something bad. They're actually choosing to make their own decisions. They're actually saying, I know what's best for me. I am going to now make my own decision. I'm going to find life without you, God. I'm going to find it without you. And so when they decided to do this, this changes the whole thing. God says, the day you eat of the tree, that's the day you're going to die. And they did eat of the tree, and they died. And this whole door closed shut. Adam died spiritually. He died personally. And he died physically. And that death was passed on to his children and their children and their children, all the way to us. And so now we need laws out here to govern this guy. Got to pass some laws. Because he is not governed inside, inwardly. He has to be governed out here by laws. We've got to strong arm this guy. Threaten him with punishment and penalties. Because he doesn't have it in here anymore. And so this is the situation we're born into. We're born into a problem. And that kind of bothers me a little bit. But we're basically born into the consequences of someone else's choice, right? Think about when we go to the airport now, right? We got to take our shoes off, take our belts off. We're going through all these machines, digging through all our stuff. Why? Because we are living in the consequence of somebody else's decision to get on that plane, take it over, bomb it, whatever. Now we live in it. It's just our new norm. We lock our doors when we leave because we're living in the consequence of someone else's choice. And that's the situation we're in. So we are dysfunctional naturally. Anything less than the Son of God coming out of me in my responses, in my reaction, in my ability to love people, anything less than a Son of God is dysfunctional. And so what does that mean? It means everyone's dysfunctional. The whole world is in dysfunction. And it's the church's highest privilege to minister recovery to the world from that dysfunction. Does that make sense? So Adam now has fallen. He's no longer identified as a son of God. He's broken fellowship. And he's now on a feeding frenzy to figure out who he is. And he's got to save himself now. And he's looking for identity. He's looking for life. And he's looking for a source to replace this. Right? How many of us look around and go, see a Ferrari? Oh, wow, that'll do it. That's a source of life. That would do it for me. Right? That's a food source. Some people see a relationship, right? There's a source of life. That would do it, right? Or a job title or anything we look at. And we're looking at an answer for this. We're really looking for paradise lost. We all know that we've lost paradise and we're looking somehow, especially the drug addict, we're looking for that paradise. I just want to be back in the garden down in here. And that's kind of where we're stuck. This guy here has no father as far as his experience goes. And so they call this an orphanage. And so we're looking for a father. And we're looking for someone to live in this house. All right, so I have here the two worlds we live in. I got this dotted line I'm going to draw. The two, we live in a physical world, spiritual world. And this is just kind of a breakdown of this whole identity thing. We have here on this physical side our parents. I'm not going to write them all down, but we have our parents give us genetics, the heredity factor when it comes to this, who we are physically. We have the environment, the culture we're raised in. If you were raised in Russia, you would be different. Or if you were raised in Japan, you'd be very different than you are right now, right? If you were raised by a single parent as opposed to two parents, it changes things here. My parents were both involved in heavy addiction. It changed me very much, the way I view things, the way I handle life. But what we're saying here is I am who I am physically because my parents were who they were. And in the same way, physically, you are who you are physically because your parents were who they were. I saw a thing the other day on YouTube where this dog was born without any legs, but it still learned how to walk, right? It just kind of did this wiggle thing, right? And then it had puppies, and the puppies had legs. But guess how they walked? They walked just like their mom, right? Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, I learned from my dad that yellow light meant speed up really fast and say a cuss word, right? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, I learned that when to be nice to someone's face, and then when you walk away, say something real sarcastic under my breath, right? I learned how to lie to people. I learned that when the pressure's on, go in my room and get high as a kite and ignore everybody else. You know, this is the kind of stuff I learned from my father or my parents that I kind of gleaned from them. This is how I was walking like my parents were walking. I learned some stuff growing up, and we all learn ways of coping with life that aren't necessarily healthy, but we learn them. So on this side, we have physical side of life. We could add all kinds of stuff to this list, just go on and on physically if we all went around adding something. But we also have the spiritual side, and we have God and his angels and that whole thing. God's a creator, sustainer of everything, the most marvelous being. He is life itself. And we also have down here, though, we'll go ahead and put Satan, right, and his demonic forces are involved in affecting us here. And that whole presence, the scriptures recognize Satan and the demonic forces, so we recognize Satan. But this is in no way to say that they're equal. You know, you guys ever remember this symbol here where he goes kind of like this, yin and yang? What's the lie in this? I actually have one of those tattooed on my arm. Yeah, I do. It's a mess. The lie behind the yin and yang is that they're direct opposites, the opposition of hard and soft or light and dark, equal opposing forces bring balance. This is a complete lie because God and Satan are in no way equal at all. Not even close. It's like an ant compared to, like, you know, the United States or not even that. I'm just saying there's no comparison. When God is going to wrap this whole thing up called time, he's going to take the trash out, throw it in a trash can, and he's going to go on with his agenda. So Satan and his demonic forces are only for a time. But anyway, this is kind of like a map here of physical, personal, spiritual, the makeup of kind of the world we live in. Does this make sense to you guys? Okay, so where is God going to go to solve this problem here? I come to this town crack addicted, sticking needles in my arms, blowing up every time something didn't go my way, living a completely selfish life, establishing a relationship, blowing it apart, getting a job, losing a job, lying, cheating, stealing, scumbag kind of guy, okay? Where is he going to go? He didn't go to my behavior. That's religion. Religion says, hey, stop doing that, right? Starts giving me laws. He went right by my behavior. He went right by my wounded soul. And he starts right here. And he establishes an incredible, mighty presence and opens this whole way up to me. He starts at the deepest part of who I am, right in the spirit. And he says, if I make the tree good, his fruit will be good. The rest will be good. And he begins establishing a relationship right here in the spirit, as we are called being born again. Another way of saying born again is born from above. Born of the spirit. He gives me a brand new identity in his son. This is so real. He's given me a new identity. And so we see back in the garden here, we're kind of seeing this thing of this breath, the spirit of God being breathed into us. When the disciples learned of Jesus' resurrection and they ran to the tomb, right? Peter and John, right? Forever told the race, right? That John won the race. He noted in that book the one Jesus loved, and he noted he won the race. Kind of funny. To celebrate Easter, instead of an Easter egg hunt, we should do like a 5K race. Happy Easter. But they ran into the tomb and they saw the clothes folded, right? I love that. You can go in my house right now and Glenna could tell you which clothes I hung up, which clothes I folded, and which clothes she folded. And I think there's something to that. The disciples lived with him for 3 years, and they walk in, they see that, and it was folded, and they noted that. Jesus is, they're like, whoa, something's up. There's a recognition of him and the way he folded those clothes. But that evening, Jesus comes to them, and what does he do? He says, my peace be with you. The way God sent me, I'm sending you. And it says he breathed. He breathed on them. And so only if we look at Genesis do we understand what he was doing. Here we are receiving his life, his spirit, his identity. If Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Master of all, the most beautiful person, God himself, come walking up to you and said, let me breathe in you my heart, my life, my love, my intentions and agenda of the world. All I am, I want to breathe in you a new identity. What do you say to such a thing? You say yes. Jesus said, I'm going to send another of the same kind as what he had been, right? Another of the same kind. The disciples walked with Jesus. Jesus taught them, comforted them, instructed them, showed them how to do it. And he said he's going to send another of the same kind. If I'm sitting there eating an ice cream cone, it's a vanilla ice cream cone, and I'm going chomp, 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 chomp. And I look over at Glenn and go, man, this is really good. Yum. Give me another. Right? She's not going to bring me a rake. Right? She's not going to bring me like a remote control. She's going to bring me another ice cream cone. Because she knows another means another of the same kind, right? That's pretty funny. I just said that to do the ice cream cone thing. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you another of the same as I am to you. Not to be with you, not to hang out with you, to be in you, to live in us the same as he is and was to them. So this is the final point here. Why did Satan come as a serpent? Because he needed a body. There's something about a body the spiritual realm knows and sees. The whole spiritual realm knows and sees by looking that a person is supposed to be in this. That this is designed for something. And the whole spiritual realm longs to be in a body. Why did Jesus come in the form of a man? Because he needed a body. He needed a body. Why does he call us his church? What does he call us? His body. It doesn't take very long looking at this coat, studying its design. You don't have to be an investigator to say, this is clearly designed for a person to be in it, right? And for this to be what it's supposed to be, it's only going to be what it's supposed to be unless a person's in it. Without that, it's just a coat. It's just a coat. So here we are. I like to do this. This is my final thought here. Is life is like a funnel. Here's a big funnel. And we all enter into the wide gate here. And we start down life. And we get some activity from our parents. We get some God activity. We get activity from Satan and his angels and forces, and we begin to fall. And this is different for all of us. But we get down to this point here, this little narrow point here, and there's a place to land here. This is my funnel idea, okay? You fall farther and farther, all the way down. We meet people at North Star. People come to this place in all different ways. But you reach this point here and he wants so bad for you to drop into this place where he can breathe into us His life. Fill us with His Spirit. When we finally reach a place, some people get to this point right here where they're about to drop right here at the end of the funnel, and they hold up on the edges and they brace themselves, right? Or they take a rope and they hook it up to the top and they hang on. I'm hanging on. You know what God says? Okay, a little more God activity, a little more of the way your parents raised you, a little more street therapy, a little more Satan and his activity, okay? We'll break that thing. And finally, this person, the person drops and lands in this place. Finally, where God was setting up the time, the moment, the day, that instant, He has been waiting and waiting for that moment where we could stand there face to face with Jesus, just like the disciples. And He says, the way God sent me into the world, I am now sending you. And He breathes on us the fullness of the Spirit. And just like Joe was saying earlier, a basketball three quarters full, no good, right? Go to the NBA, right? 85% full, can't play. Looks good. 50%, nah. 90%, no. For a basketball to be played with in the NBA, in the game, that thing's got to be 100% full. If we're going to be in the game in these days to come, we have to be full. Full of the Spirit. Nothing else. No time goofing off. And so I think this is a wonderful thing, this our core team being here right now. I think it's a great place to start. Can we just bow our heads and I'll close this in prayer? If you guys mean it and you're with me here today, you can just repeat after me. And what I'm going to say is I'm going to say that I renounce the old and I'm embracing the new. And I'm going to cry out to be filled with the Spirit. And if you mean that, you can repeat after me. Dear Father, I renounce my old life in Adam. I embrace my new life with you. And with all my heart, I cry. Fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.